He got up and walked back to the temple, where he amused himself by trying to find the hidden company standard. Chapter 17. The everyday business of sorcery is as much stage magic as it is witchcraft. It's misdirection, deceit, what have you. I kept an eye on Smoke, expecting him to pass information to the Radisha in some subtle fashion, but if he did, he was too crafty for me, which I doubt. When you encounter the Radisha, you know you're in the presence of a powerful will. It was a shame she was trapped in her culture and had to pretend to be her brother's creature. She might have done interesting things.
"Good afternoon," she said. "We're pleased that you survived."
Was she? Maybe, because there were still some Shadow Masters to be conquered.
So am I.
She noted that Blade stood with me instead of his friends. She noted Narayan, of obvious low caste and no cleaner than the day we'd met, though I had no room to criticize. A shadow crossed her brow.
"My battalion commanders," I said. "Blade, you know. Narayan, who has been helpful pulling the men together."
She looked at Narayan intently, maybe because of his unusual name and the fact that I'd added no other. I didn't know any other name for him. Narayan was a patronym. We had 6 more Narayans among the Shadar troops. Every one of them carried the personal name Singh, which means lion. She caught something with that closer look, started slightly, glanced at Smoke. The wizard replied with a tiny nod. She looked at Blade.
"You choose to leave me?"
"I'm going with somebody who can get something done besides talk."
That was a long speech for Blade, and one that won him no sympathy. The Radisha glared.
"He's got a point," Swan said. "You and your brother just keep fiddling."
"We're more exposed."
People in positions like theirs do have to act within constraints or get pulled down. But try to explain that to men who have never been anything but momentary captains and didn't want that power when they had it. The Radisha rose.
"Come,"
she told us. As we walked, she told me,
"I am pleased that you survived, though you may find it difficult to continue doing so."
That didn't sound like a threat, exactly.
"What?"
"You're in a difficult position because your captain didn't survive."
She led us up a spiral stair to the parapet of the fortress's tallest tower. My companions were as puzzled as I. The Radisha pointed. Beyond the trees and construction across the river, there was a large ragtag encampment. The Radisha said,
"Some fugitives crossed elsewhere and carried word north. People started arriving the day after Swan rode south. There are about 2,000 already. There'll be thousands more."
"Who are they?"
Swan asked.
"Families of legionnaires, families of men the Shadow Masters enslaved. They've come to find out what happened to their menfolk."
She pointed upstream. Scores of women were stacking wood. I asked, "What are they doing?"
"Building ghats."
Narayan sounded nonplussed.
"I should have considered that."
"What are ghats?"
"Funeral pyres,"
Mather said.
"The Guni burn their dead instead of burying them."
He looked a little green. I didn't follow. "There aren't any dead here, unless somebody makes some." A symbolic gesture? Funerals in absentia?
"The practice is called